Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, food and drink, Laxey Primary School, and golf. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting our headlines in our print titles and, of course, online at iamtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Jess Ward.
Hello.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
There's only three of us this week.
I know, it feels a bit lopsided in the room.
It does feel a bit lopsided.
But we're still in our proper seats.
Yeah, we are still in our proper seats.
I was tempted to go to Sam's seat, but I think he would. He's got a bit of a sixth sense. He would know.
It feels a bit more positive, the atmosphere as well.
Yeah.
Because Sam is not here this week. He's got a day off. I think, personally, no, we were just talking about this, Jess, because it is a bit random just to have a Thursday off.
Yeah,
because
we're trying to figure it out.
I reckon he was tipped off about the news that the Heritage Railways are going to reopen next week, and he just would have been too excited to be in work.
He's like, I can't.
Needed a day to drink and celebrate.
Yeah, so he's probably drinking, celebrating, maybe booking ahead a little trip on the Snaefell. Maybe he'll do all three, you know, in one day. But yeah, I think that's the only thing I can possibly think of.
Yeah, I think you're right.
After last week's revelation that he'd watched Sex and the City 2, maybe...
We did think maybe he's watching Sex and the City 3. I'm not sure if it exists.
There isn't a third one.
He'll find it.
Do you think he's started screenplay on it?
He might have done. Was it fan fiction?
Yes.
Where he's rewritten the ending, and this time it's set in Birmingham.
Do you reckon he calls himself, like, Samantha when he writes it?
Yes.
So Sam, if you're listening, please do let us know what you've been up to. But yeah, we've got lots to discuss this week. Loads, and I particularly like the story about Laxey Primary School, but we'll come on to that in a minute. The first story this week we're going to talk about, though, is the Food and Drink Festival, Jess?
Yes, that's right.
Very excitingly, it's on like Donkey Kong, isn't it?
It is. It's full steam ahead. Sorry, you were distracting me with your plaster. What is that?
So, right,
is
yesterday...
Is it Angry Birds?
No, it's balloons.
Oh.
So,
oh.
I went home for lunch. Was it yesterday? I can't remember when it was. Some point yesterday. And I cut me... Cutting open a bagel.
No.
With the sharp bread knife.
Mm.
Not allowed to use that anymore.
The serrated knife.
Yeah.
You've been banned.
Yeah.
Lifetime ban.
So I said to the wife, have we got any plasters in the kitchen? She said, yes, in the drawer. So I went in and I found out that it was the kids' ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a different one on yesterday. This is put back on today. But I quite enjoyed the sort of slightly... off from centre.
Do you feel hipster?
A little bit. A hipster would wear a children's
bandage,
wouldn't it? So it's got a red and yellow balloon on it.
And
the love
heart balloons too. Wow.
Oh yeah, I hadn't even noticed that. Yeah. So who knows what plaster will have on tomorrow? If indeed I need one, because it was the minutest of cuts. But yeah. Well, while we were talking about food and drink. Yeah.
It was just waving my face. I was like, okay. It's all go ahead after so many months of, you know, not knowing whether we were going to have any events for the summer, I guess. Mm. So it is probably one of the most popular ones in the Manx calendar,
mm-hmm.
Like hundreds, probably thousands go along. So it'll be taking place between September the 19th to 20th. It's going to be a little bit scaled back because obviously they can't have like a special celebrity guest come over. I think last year it was Selassie and I got to meet him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
from Bake Off.
Yeah, back in my university days we called him Sassy Selassie because he just was. and so as well as, but because everything's kind of being pared back, tickets are now going to cost £2.50 a day and there's going to be a more busker style kind of set list, I guess.
Because they had a stage last year for musicians,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
But this is more of a sort of free and easy vibe.
Yeah, I quite like that, though.
For a cool festival.
Yeah, very cool.
Very hipster, again.
I'm a little bit upset. There's not going to be no animals this year.
I know. No. Yeah, I was a bit gutted about that too.
So you can't pet the baby goats and then go and eat a goat curry?
No. You can't see the full circle of life. Apparently, the reason I read in Julie's piece on our amazing food and farming pages, which are in the Independent each week, and I really urge you to just buy the
Independent.
Yeah,
they are
so
amazing.
Good. She was saying it's because there's been no agricultural shows this year, that the animals aren't used to being
led on
show. And I thought, that's a really good point, because you usually just think, oh, it's a goat, used to be petted by people.
It must be really unsettling for them.
Yeah, exactly.
A bit overwhelming, like, whoa, lots of people watching me.
But, asterisk, there could be animals in a different form, couldn't there? Did you read this bit?
I didn't, know.
They're in discussions with the wildlife park. To see if they
could
bring some of their, I want to say exhibits, is that the right word? Some of their their family down for some shows or displays like that.
Oh, could you imagine them bringing the lemurs?
They would love a food festival, wouldn't they?
They would. Oh, I'd they'd be socialising with everyone.
I'd like to see... So have you seen that man versus food thing on YouTube big for a few years?
Yeah.
So they usually have an eating contest, don't they, at the food festival, and that's not
last
been
year was
mentioned.
Ice cream, wasn't it?
Right. I thought it was hot dogs.
I think they did
hot dogs and ice cream, yes.
So I'm not
Richard
sure...
Richard came second one, I think.
Yeah, all right, it's Richard came second. But I'm not sure... That's not been mentioned specifically in the press release, but... You know, potentially there might be an eating contest of some form. Wouldn't it be great to have an animal on one of the seats? Yeah. It'd be like man versus animal. So maybe the lemur, if it was, I don't know what lemurs eat.
It would have to be based around the lemur's diet.
Yeah, we couldn't give it a hot dog. I realise that wouldn't really be what
you
call
all
right.
Imagine the photos of that. Yeah. Like.
But I think it'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be good. I was a bit worried you might be implying that you eat the
No.
Bring them from the wildlife park
just to
eat
them.
That would, just imagine they're put in the back of the van and think, oh, we're going out for a lovely, nice day out. Then we go to the food fair. Oh, that's nice. You know, maybe have some food and stuff like that. And then you eat them. That would be a terrible
be
way
sad.
To go. Very terrible.
Sad. But yeah, but actually, one of the marketing executive of the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, she was saying because so many people over the COVID pandemic time, the lockdown period, kind of bought more local produce, it's kind of nice to go out and actually meet them because a lot of people hadn't done that before.
Is there anything, we touched on this a few podcasts ago, but that you've discovered in the Manx larder, as it were, over lockdown? Is there, I know you're famed for meeting your meat man in the car park.
Yeah.
Has there been a particular type of sausage or...
Do you know what, as well, because I live quite close to the terrace, and I didn't want to go to Tesco's or ShopRite. Like, I just didn't want to go far. I would just walk around there. So I started getting from the butchers on the terrace.
My mate Andy.
The bacon there's amazing.
Yeah.
Best bacon ever.
You sung that so well just then. Yeah.
So you should bake Manx bacon then?
Manx bacon from there.
What's been your revelation of lockdown?
Well, we got in meat from the Radcliffe's.
Yeah,
butchers. And they're really good, we found. Otherwise, I feel like, well... Because I still live at home with my parents still, and they have two beehives outside. They've got strawberries growing, they've got chickens. So exactly. So we're doing pretty well there.
Yeah.
So actually, the honey's going to be collected soon. I'm quite excited for that. But
fun fact.
Yeah.
You want a fun fact, Jess?
Tell
you a woman that likes a fun fact. By 2020 something, I know that's very vague. 10% all of the UK's eggs will come from pet poultry. So people like your mum and dad
have their own.
So that apparently it's the most...
I have seen quite a few places popping up around the place, like, oh, you can buy your eggs at the end of our driveway.
Like an honesty box.
Yeah. Actually, Dad wants to do that. He wants to do that with the eggs and the honey. He wants to be known as the local honey man. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
You can read more about this in Julie's excellent Food and Farming page next week, because I know she's going to there's a pet poultry course tomorrow on Saturday.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
So you can learn more about how, if you're interested in keeping
pets. My friend's got a pet chicken that they kind of adopted by accident, and now it's like the pride and joy of the family.
Oh, that's adorable.
So that's what I mean. So 10%, you think that's absolutely outrageous, but actually when you think about it, more people have pet hens than you think, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, my thing I discovered was Noah Bagels, although it did nearly cost me a finger. I've really enjoyed their bagels during lockdown.
Yeah, I've had their burger buns recently, and they're really good.
And plus, you can get Manx burgers, and lovely array of Manx burgers. So. Making me feel hungry. Right, next story, Jess. Now, this is the one we've been talking about. Now, we're going to have some teasers for this on social media tomorrow on our newspapers, not podcast one, because Dave, our brilliant photographer, went to Laxey School yesterday because Laxey School had... Is this the first time they've done it? Are you going to tell
me? This is the second time.
Second time they've done it. I've never heard of this before.
It's so good.
Put a pupil in charge of the school for a day, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. So we had an 11-year-old student who was head teacher for just one day, but still, it's a big deal. And his name was Maxwell Hellman.
Brilliant name.
I thought so. I thought so too. So he went into school and he was addressed as Mr. Hellman. He was suited up, and he had commanded that the school, that staff and pupils attended wearing clothes that were Harry Potter themed, so came as a character from Harry Potter. Either that or they could just wear, you know, casual clothes. Half of the day was dedicated to pure PE.
Half a day?
Yeah.
Kids must have
been. He tried.
Absolutely.
He tried for a full day, but apparently Mr. Aston, who leads the PE mainly in the school, he just said, "I don't know if I can do that." Basically, and then the Year Sixes had an after school treat of watching Angry Birds 2, which
very niche film that.
Yeah, I thought so. And they were going to have a picnic, but unfortunately, weather wasn't on their side. So I think they might have had a picnic styled sort of lunch inside the building.
So that he had control over the whole school, not just his year group.
Yeah, no. So he went around. He said hello to all the classrooms, and yeah, he was in the office.
He handed out any sort of, I don't know. Did they have detentions in primary school? Or
I don't know. I don't think they do.
And I suppose that's a bit more of a high school thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you spoke to Maxwell yesterday on the phone, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was he sounding pretty slick?
Yeah, he was, yes. Yeah, he was full of positivity. He said he was so excited because I rang him up quite early in the day. And, I don't want to give too much away, but basically the circumstances of how he managed to become head teacher was pretty cool.
Right.
It's just very out there. So, I mean, if people want to read more about that, they can. It's in the Manx Independent on page 5.
Now, we've got a couple of follow-ups to this that have organically come in with you. So, Katie, you've been researching.
There's a book apparently written by David Baddiel of Baddiel and Skinner.
Right,
but he it's about it's like a Freaky Friday-esque book where a kid swaps bodies with his head teacher.
Oh, okay.
So that all of the comments are what school classes would do if they were head teacher, and they go one of two ways. They're either kind of punishing class like the pupils, or they're really rewarding them. So you have things like one of them was like, make everybody do tests all day. give everyone a red card, give everyone detention, give teachers detention. And then some of them are like, ban lessons, close the schools, make everyone play Minecraft. But then two really good suggestions, I did think. Teach all children how to drive the school minibus so they can go anywhere.
Yes.
And another one, class pets are compulsory.
Oh,
that's so good. Yeah.
So you took it a stage further again today.
Did you?
You went out and did your vox pops, and you asked the great public of Douglas what they would do if they were head teacher for a day.
Yeah.
Was it similar responses to
actually
what
some of those did come up? Mm. Yeah. To be fair, I thought it was one of the weirder kind of vox pops I've ever done. I think the weirdest one has been, do you like gnomes? Which actually was quite successful. I don't know how we managed it, but to go out and say, what would you do if you could be head teacher for the day? I mean, if I was asked that on the spot, I'd panic a little bit because it's quite a bit to think about. Yeah, no, they had some really good suggestions, the people that I spoke to, and yeah, one of them I was like, oh yeah, I'd do that if I was a head teacher. So
that's in the Examiner on Tuesday if you want to find out what the people of Douglas would do if they became a head teacher for the day.
Also, it's how well we know you, of which suggestion would be like, oh, yes, would do that.
I reckon you'd be up for the all day PE as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It'd be dodgeball all day.
yes, that's the dream.
Kate, what would you do if you became head teacher for the day?
Oh, I don't know. I think, especially if it was in summer, it would have to be outside classes because they were always the best classes.
Yeah. Mm. You always felt like you were leaving school early when you
did
that. I always remember I went to Williston Primary School, and our library was not much bigger than the room we were recording Nigel in. And I remember it had two big windows, so in the afternoon it was roasting, the sun would be over. And there was bean bags, and there was loads of carpet. And it used to be that you could get reward time for going to the library and stuff like that. But I just remember falling asleep in there because it was like an oven, and like maybe the books
have
weren't
a little nap.
Yeah, the books weren't maybe that interesting. And you had bean bags, and you'd wake up with the book on your face. So
and a bit of a suntan.
Yeah, just on one side. It was a hardback she had to watch out for. Never pick a hardback, and I made that sorry because that meant more of a
on the nose. Oh yeah.
So what would you do if you were head teacher for the day?
Well, I think it would be cool to get outside and do something like actually like Venture Centre or
maybe down to Laxey Beach.
Yeah, well, that's what the kid did last year actually, and they had an ice cream on the beach there.
Right.
But yeah, definitely get everyone doing an outdoor activity of some sort. But I thought it might be quite good to do like a world day as well. Yeah, just kind of learn about different cultures, I guess. Yeah.
I loved the days when you get to bring things in, like a grandparent or a pet. Do you remember that? We used to have things like if your like grandparent was alive in World War II and they'd come in and say what it was like.
Oh, yeah.
I remember bringing my grandmother over who's Irish and she was like, well, I didn't really do anything during the war, did I?
They talk about the 1917 revolution, though.
I think I brought my dad in once because he was a park ranger and he just talked about fish.
And if we got him in again now, he'd probably still talk about fish.
Or try and sell his honey.
Right, yeah, there you go.
The honey man. Right, talking about outdoor activities, I should talk about the sports story this week is, of course, about the Isle of Man Golf Championships, which start this Sunday at Castletown Golf Links, which I think is still ranked in the top 100 golf courses Great Britain. The men kick off the action this weekend. It's a slightly different format this year. Traditionally, there's a qualifying round, and then the top, I think, 32 start battling out for match play, maybe even be less than that, maybe 16. And then they battle through the week, and then you eventually get crowned a champion. This year, it's straight off match play. There's some absolutely great draws being made. I think that you had to have a handicap of 4.9 or less, or 4.8 or less, which golfing fans among you will know that is really that is the best players basically on Isle of Man. Mm. So they tee off on Sunday. There's a full preview in the Max Independent, which is on sale now, and of course we'll have some pitches and a report from the first round on Tuesday in Tuesday's Isle of Man Examiner. So please do keep a touch of that. You ever played golf, Jess?
I did at the golf drive. Is that right?
The driving range.
Yeah, the driving range. I was absolutely awful. I just can't do it. My eye coordination with the ball. Yeah, I just can't.
Katie, have a...
I wouldn't say play golf, but you know when you're little and you used to jump over the fence at Paul Rose and just take a golf club down there? but anything I know about golf is from Happy Gilmore.
Well, yes, what a film.
See, crazy golf's become very big again, you know, especially in urban ghetto golf
yeah. in Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, I did that for my stag do.
I went to Birmingham. My friend showed me a place where you play... It's mini golf, but it's... with pool cues,
right?
Yeah, so yeah, it was really good actually, and you had like windmills and you had all sorts of stuff.
Would you say that's the best combination of sports you wouldn't expect to go together you've ever come across?
Sports fusions,
probably.
Yeah, sports fusion.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah,
when we went to St. Parks, I played football pool.
That's cool. Yeah,
which is pool, but with footballs on it, like on a big table.
I like that. That's a good idea.
Is it called like snooker golf, or is it snolf?
Snolf. No, it was still called football pool. I think it was still called football.
Not football.
For pool. It was the Windermere one. So if you're in Centre Parks, they have them in the indoor things. You can go, but you have to book another 2 weeks off when you come back, don't you?
Yeah.
The moment. But that was one. And there's also football golf's very big across as well, where it's basically you play football on a golf course. And I played that in Germany as well. That's really good. And that was like football crazy golf. Mm. So it had all the sometimes there was sort of little things you had to get over and round and that was very exciting. But yeah,
so
sports fusions. Maybe we should come up with some more. I bet Sam would like a sports fusion.
He would, but his sports would be very obscure.
Yeah. Yeah, like bridge and kayaking or something. No, you wouldn't. You took him kayaking. Did you say?
I took him paddleboarding once.
He hates the sea, doesn't he?
He fell in the drink a few times. And it was so cold as well. Oh, I kind of felt bad for him. But at the same time,
kind of.
I was laughing a little bit.
Yes, training this week, Katie. Now, I did try and say it before, and I'm not going to attempt it now. Lanyas?
I think it's La Lunas.
La Lunas.
Yeah.
Sounded kind of Russian.
So, at first, I was reading about it, and I thought, oh, this would be right up Jess's street, but then it did teeter off slightly in a different direction. It's mainly the hills. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, it basically revolves around hill climbing. It's an ancient Gaelic festival, which is held on the 31st of July, the 1st of August,
mm-hmm.
And it's originally inspired as a day dedicated to the Celtic god Log.
Log.
Yep. Yep.
Right. Not heard of him or her.
I don't know the gender.
Right.
I don't know. So basically, the superstitious custom originally is that you go to the top of a mountain, and people up the mountain kind of behave indecently for the day. A lot of merriment
I've heard
and
of
indecency.
This, actually.
There's no. I looked, but I couldn't find what kind of indecency we're talking.
Are we talking indecency that elsewhere would probably get you arrested?
I imagine for the time it was more
risque.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So in the 1800s, the church got involved and claimed the celebration. Said, no, this is just a wicked celebration. So you can imagine.
Sounds it.
You climb to the top of your hill, you're ready to misbehave and celebrate your Celtic god. And there's the church with their collection box putting an end to this misbehaviour. Okay. So then flash forward 100 years after that, after World War I, there was a big service organised on South Barule where a famous fiddle player called Tom Taggart, who actually played a cello, not a fiddle, I don't know why he's referred to as the famous fiddle player, came and they restarted this kind of old tradition. So it is, yep, you go up the hills and just kind of be at one with the hills, I don't know. But also there's other things they say about some of the wells or like sources of water from up in the hills. Apparently, around that time of year, if you drink from them or if you bathe in them, they can protect you from any like wrongdoing in the next year. Or you can be blessed health-wise, because there's one story of a well at St. Macald that tells of a bald man washing himself with the water. And then, lo and behold, he appears with a full head of hair.
A mane.
Exactly. A mane. A luscious mane. So this is August the 1st. And this year, that's a Saturday. So you can go up hills and misbehave.
I'm a bit worried though. You legally? Said that it was totally up my street. I just what saw, kind of like, indecency do you think I get up to?
It was more the Jess. She'll be up climbing a hill at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, maybe.
Is there a sort of definition of hill? Like, does Crellin's Hill count or Belmont Hill?
I think it is more the likes of Snaefell.
Right. So you can't get to top of Crellin's Hill and take your kit off. And...
Well, really, it's a mountain. It's just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's that thing of if you live at the top of a hill, I think you need to elevate yourself higher.
Right. Mm. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Was that from Culture Fanning as always? Or?
Yes, and there was some videos. There was one with, is it Matt Creer?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Telling the story and reading from some records from like the 1700s of this misbehaviour, and there's Annie Kissack had written a poem about it.
Hmm. I was going to say, Tom Taggart, the fiddler, I think that is peak Isle of Madness. So one thing that someone at once has said he's a fiddler, and then that's stuck. And even though he turns up with his cello, and they're like, oh, it's Tom the fiddler. And then he's probably, like, for the first four times said, oh, it's a cello. And then, no, you're Tom the fiddler. And then he would be like, oh, I can't be bothered with this anymore. Yeah, yeah. I'm just Tom the fiddler. Like, he probably had business cards done, or you know, his Facebook page. He didn't want to have to change it all. But yeah, I thought that was sort of quite Manx, sort of like, yeah. Oh, you know, Tom the Fiddler. Oh, he's the guy that plays cello. Yeah, Tom the Fiddler, yeah. Yeah,
brilliant. That's so true.
So that was very exciting, Casey. So have we got any pictures we could use maybe on social media of Tom the Fiddler or anyone being indecent up a hill?
I'll try and find some indecency up hills.
If that's piqued your interest, please do look at our social media pages at IOM News Podcast, where we may or may not have indecent images of pills coming your way. Right, that's about it for this week. We had no This Week in History fans because Sam wasn't here, and he didn't actually usually leaves his page, doesn't he?
He
didn't this week.
No, disappointing.
But I can, if you're thinking, I need my This Week in History hit, you will get it in the Examiner as usual because he is back in work tomorrow, so fear not. So, yeah, I think that's about it. Have you got much coming up this weekend, GS?
I do. So, I'm doing...
I forgot about this. That wasn't a loaded question.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So, I go to quite a few sessions by an instructor called Keisha Hewson, and she is introducing a very new sort of class to the Isle of Man, and that is Twerk After Work.
Twerk After Work.
Yes. So I will be going down. I thought, well, I don't know. I'm just a bit curious, I guess. And I'll speak to Keisha, but also take part. I don't know how that's going to go. I'm really, really quite scared. But yeah, so she's having a launch this Saturday, and I'm going to get something in the Examiner.
Well, yes, that's very exciting. Is that the most bizarre fitness class you've come across yet?
I think so, yeah. I think that tops it, to be honest.
Casey, have you seen any advertised or been to that you thought, this is a bit weird? Because you know, there's all sorts now.
There is another one.
Go on.
Goat yoga.
Goat yoga.
Oh, we did goat yoga.
You both went to that, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
That's really popular now, I see. Like, yeah, that's across the UK. But where was it? Did it up near...
It's in Kirkmichael.
Kirkmichael.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was good. Smelly? I mean, I was
smelly. They chose to wee on me.
On your mat, that's right.
It's a sign of a demon, apparently, isn't it? Oh.
Good luck. But they didn't hop up as much, but I think it's because you need to get them while they're quite young kids.
Get a bit arthritic.
Yeah, I think so.
You got much coming up in the world of distribution, Casey?
Yes.
Go on. Is it top secret or
no? I've said yes, and I'm trying to think of something I can say. That's what's happened.
Well, we could at this point plug where you can get a digital copy of all our products, can't you?
Yes, you can go to www.iomtoday.co.im, and then there's a little red bar that has different options. One of them being digital editions. So click that one.
And you can find out where to buy our papers online, and you can then view them or read them on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, PC.
If you don't understand what it's saying, just give me a ring, 695649, and I can talk you through it.
And also, we should big up the courier's back.
It is back, and it's pretty much everywhere at the moment.
Yep.
So if you're not receiving one, email courierdelivery@iomtoday.co.im. Yes, that's our email address, yeah.
That's it.
Katie's your girl.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Katie's your girl.
What? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Did you have a coffee today?
No, I had one yesterday. I think that the effects will still
be
there.
The after effects, yeah.
Right, well, that's about it for this week. We'll hopefully have all the team back next week. If you enjoyed it, please do tell your friends. We are available to subscribe on all good and even some bad podcast platforms. And did you see last week someone used our Would You Rather quiz and put it on Twitter? Michael Joseph.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Katie, you were off last week, weren't you, for your dad's birthday?
I was.
And Grace stepped in off the bench, and she did a Would You Rather Spend 6 months at the Calf Man or 1 month in the Castle Rushing.
That is a very different Would You Rather than she usually does.
Yes.
Yeah. A true story, but we couldn't maybe put them out.
Too indecent.
Yeah, that's for up the hill.
No, that's definitely for up the hill. What would you have done, just quickly?
You know what? Castle Rushing.
I was quite loving the Castle
Rushing. I'd be terrified the entire time.
No, I couldn't do it.
But I don't want to be sat on my own on the Calf of Man for that long.
That place gives me the actual creeps.
But,
and
yes.
I think I could stand on the roof bits and I just look out at people living their life in Castletown and go, that'll be me in 5 months' time.
But yeah, Michael Joseph, one of our regular listeners, put it on Twitter and he did a poll. And I think it was the Calf of Man won out, didn't it?
Yes. See,
I think people are thinking, oh, there'll be puffins in the summer and dolphins will swim by. No, it's going to rain for a year.
And it's going to be like 90 miles per hour winds.
Exactly, and just pure isolation.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you could I don't know, I feel like you get a nice sense of escape from everything.
You get that.
You suffer when you're not socialising.
That's very true, actually. I'll be on day two like, what have I done?
Talking to one of the wooden puffins. Yeah. Right, on that bombshell.
Bye for now.